Please do be seated. And I'm going to ask Anne and Alex to come and read something for us here at the, just at the beginning. Some words from Psalm 15. If you share the microphone.
O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill?
Those who walk blessedly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart.
Who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbours.
And whose eyes despise, but who honour those fear the Lord, who stand by their oath.
Who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent?
Those who do these things shall never be moved.
Thank you. Would you like to go and sit back there? So, we've got those words from Psalm 15, and thank you, Anne and Alex, for reading them so beautifully. And then I thought, as it was All Saints Day, that I'd do some research into what it makes or takes to be a saint. What would it take for us to be canonised in the Catholic Church? And there are five steps to being a saint. The first one is a little troubling because you have to be dead for at least 5 years, okay? Unless the Pope decides otherwise. Secondly, you have to be a servant of God in some way. Thirdly, you have to show proof of a life of heroic virtue, in inverted commas. And fourthly, you have to have at least one verified miracle. It has to be verified by two people or more. And then fifthly, if all of that has been verified and everybody agrees, then you can become a saint. Hooray! That's okay then, isn't it? Easy. And then we have this gospel reading this morning. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Seems it's a little bit hard being a saint, doesn't it? I'm not sure that I can live up to any of this. Those words from Psalm 15 about walking blamelessly and doing what is right. Those words from the gospel. And then looking at what would it take for us to be canonised as a saint. But luckily, we're okay. And this is why. I'm going to ask some people who have some names, and I will come to others, just to come out and stand along the steps. So you should know who you are. If you have a name label like this, just come and stand along the bottom or on the step up above, wherever you want to, and I will come along with a microphone and you can read out your names. You can stand in front of one another as well. There you go, there's a saintly bunch, if ever you saw. Excellent. So I'm just going to come along, and all I need you to do is read out the tricky name, okay? The one that I've given you, so.
Andronicus.
Ampliatus.
Rufus.
Apelles. Phoebe.
Prisca.
Athanatus.
Aquila.
Mary.
Tryphena.
Aristobulus.
Tryphosa.
Stachys.
Urbanus.
Junior.
Hersus.
Olympus.
Excellent. Okay. They were all names that Paul wrote to in his letters to the Romans. those names are mentioned. But Paul, in our letter to Ephesians, also speaks about greetings to all the saints, all the people who are in Ephesus, who are being church together. So, now turn over your labels, and you should find another name. And we're going to come along in a different direction this time. We'll go start with this lady over here. What's your name?
Marianne.
Sylvia.
Andy.
Bernard.
Linda.
Mavis.
Cynthia.
Ruth.
Jonathan.
Beverly.
Izzy.
Hannah. Beth. Anne. Alex.
Jim.
Pam.
Ruth. Okay, so hang on a minute. You're not all saints, are you?
No.
Oh, yes, I am. Oh, no, you're not. Actually, they are all saints. Can anybody think why you might be all saints? What's the one thing that you all hold in common? Because I'm looking at you. I'm going to do my sermon sitting down today. Excellent. I'm looking at you, and I can see that we've got some young people, and we've got some older people, and we've got some people in the middle. We've got women, and we've got men, and we've got children. We've got some people with really black hair, and some people with strawberry blonde hair. We've got people with no hair at all, and we've got people with curly hair. We've got people with blue eyes and brown eyes and green eyes. So you are all different. So what is the one thing that unites all of you this morning?
We're here.
Okay, the family of God, you come to church. Why do you come to church? Because you believe in God. Okay, and presumably if you believe in God, as Paul was writing to the Ephesians, you believe in Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again to give you life. Yes? Oh, glad. I'm good. Good. This is excellent. I quite like this way of doing a sermon. Fantastic. Seeing lots of nodding heads. Okay, thank you very much. You can go and sit down. Obviously, it's not just these people who had labels who are the saints. So, in a moment, when they've all sat down, on the count of three, I want you all together just to shout your name into the air. Okay, really shout it. You're allowed to shout in church, okay? Whatever your name is, when I count to three, you shout your name, okay? One, two, three.
Linda.
Perfect. Do it again. I like that. One, two, three.
Linda.
Fantastic. Because you are all saints, because you believe in the power of Jesus Christ. So let's go back to those words, the words particularly in the gospel. Jesus says, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. There's a lot of language around at the moment in our political life and in our lives generally, which quite frankly is abusive. I wonder how much praying is going on at the moment. I know there are some very faithful people who are praying. But I know, actually, sometimes we forget that prayer is the basis of everything in our Christian lives. And actually, no, of course, I get angry at some of the things I hear, and I don't want to pray for people. There are some politicians that you really think, how can God love you? But he does, and that's the point. And actually, as I was reading this, and it's something I've been thinking about for a few months now, is actually, we gather today on All Saints, and we have readings like this. And our collect, the reason I wanted to use that collect on the front of the newsletter, talks about looking on the beauty of Christ so that we might become more like Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I began to wonder, actually, have we got it wrong? Because we have for centuries asked people to be more Christ-like by being more perfect, by being a good person, a better person. And of course, all of those things are good because they enable us to be in relationship with one another. But actually, what does it mean to be Christ-like? And I think it comes down to these words, because this is a picture of what happens to Christ. When he is taken to the cross, he has to love his enemies and try to do good to those who hate him. He blesses them. They're cursing him. They're nailing him to a cross. And he blesses them. He asks for forgiveness for them from God. Father, they do not know what they are doing. Forgive them. He prays for them. He comforts the thief on the right-hand side of him. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. He stands in Pilate's court being asked to prophesy who is hitting him. And they hit one cheek and he offers them the other, and he stays quiet and he says nothing. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. They took all his garments off him. They took his cloak. They divided everything up. And they left him perfectly naked, totally vulnerable to their hatred and to their abuse. Give to everyone who begs from you. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did throughout his whole ministry? He gave everything to anyone who asked him. And he gave, perhaps not always what they wanted, but he gave them love and understanding. Do we do that to everyone who begs from us? And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Jesus left everything behind to come to earth. He left the glory of heaven. He left all that he was and came here to fulfill, as Paul wrote to that early church in Ephesus, to be the fulfillment of everything so that we don't have to be. So instead of beating ourselves up about how imperfect we are and telling ourselves that we are the worst sinners in the world and therefore we can never live up to being a saint, actually Paul says, and so does the gospel, say that when you become more Christ-like, when you become more vulnerable in the face of God, in the presence of God, then you are showing the mark of a saint. And actually, I think the mark of a true saint is somebody who, despite everything that's going on, still believes and hopes. So all of you who have stood out here on these steps, the one thing that united you in all of your differences, and it would have been the same if we got everybody up, the one thing that united us in all our differences and all the stuff that's going on in our own personal lives and all the stuff that's going on in the world, the one thing that united us, that we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again so that we may have new life, new hope. One of the big questions for me is, when did Jesus really know that resurrection was going to happen? Because if he knew before he went to the cross, not sure it's really worth very much. Because the point is, he had to trust in God, that God was going to do something different, that this would all work out. If he went knowing that there was resurrection, I don't think he would have been crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went as a humble, stripped, humiliated, despised and abused man, but fully God. And knowing and trusting himself to be loved by God more than anything and with the whole of the world, he then was able to put himself on that cross and come and give us life. So we are all going to go out at this, at the end of this service, and I don't know what you're going to this afternoon. I don't know where you'll be tomorrow morning, But when we send you out at the end of the service, we say, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. What we're not saying is go in peace to be perfect. Go in peace to be brilliant and amazing. What we're saying is go in love and serve the Lord. And if that is in our hearts, then the rest will follow. Because as we become more Christ-like, we become more vulnerable to one another and to the presence of God. And then, as that hymn said, no work is too hard for him, because he will dwell within us and we will dwell with him. So, just to finish, one last time, a count to three, you shout your name. One, two, three. Thank you for being all saints. Amen.